Good afternoon, and today we're going to be in Lesson 2 of Ecclesiastes, and we'll actually be covering Chapter 1, verses 4 through 11. As we study this unique book of the Bible, we need to remember Solomon wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In this book, in Chapter 12, verses 10 through 11, he says, "The preacher sought to find acceptable words. And what was written was upright, words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars," or that can be translated master of assemblies, which is interesting because that's what he was, "are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd," with a capital S. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, right at the very beginning, a verse many of us know, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Therefore, what he wrote was what God wanted his people to know and to have in the full counsel of God." It's a unique book, but God wanted it in his book. So chapter 1, verses 4 through 7, let's just read those. "One generation passes away and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. The sun also rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it arose. The wind goes toward the south and turns around to the north. The wind whirls about continually and comes again on its circuit. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. To the place from which the rivers come, there they return again." This is really interesting. Here he gives us really a cyclical view of life that was a burden to him. We're going to see this. And so for if life is only part of a great cycle over which we have no control, is life worth living? If this cycle is repeated season after season, century after century, why are we unable to understand it and explain it? Solomon pondered these questions as he looked at the cycle of life under the sun, in other words, from a human perspective, and he came to three conclusions. Here in verses 4 through 7, nothing has changed. That's what he's saying. In this section, Solomon approached the problem as a scientist and examined the wheel of nature around him, the earth, the sun, the wind, the water. He was struck by the fact that generations of people came and went, while the things of nature remained the same. There was change all around, yet nothing really changed. The earth abides forever. The sun continues to rise, go down, rise again. The wind is constantly moving and changing directions, and yet it's still the wind. The wind has not changed its cycles. The water cycle, you know, the rivers and the seas that help to sustain life on our planet, and the rivers and the rains pour water into the seas, all this remains the same. So from what Solomon could observe under the sun, these unchanging cycles expressed the unchanging monotony of life. This is his theme here, leading to its vanity and its meaninglessness. So now let's look at verses 8 through 11 and take it a little further. He says, "All things are full of labor. Man cannot express it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. That which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which it may be said, 'See, this is new'? It has already been in ancient times before us. There's no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of the things that are to come by those who will come after." Solomon here has observed that the meaninglessness of life wasn't only reflected in nature. It was also evident in human effort and endeavor. Despite all man's working or labor, his seeing and his hearing, he's still not satisfied. That which has been is what will be, and that which is done is what will be done. Therefore, he concludes, there's nothing new under the sun. It's like Solomon is saying, really? Is there anything that you could say is really new? As he looks at everything under the sun, he He's leaving God out of the picture. Therefore, nothing new under the sun, we have to keep in mind, is a human view, leaving God out. But thankfully, the followers of Jesus, those born again by God's Spirit, don't live under the sun in that sense. Their life is filled with new things. Think about this. A new name, Revelation 2:17. At the end, he says, I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. We have a new community, Ephesians 2, verse 14. For he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. We have the church. A new commandment, John 13:34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. A new and living way to heaven. Hebrews 10, verse 20. By a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. A new way. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. John 14:6. New purity. 1 Corinthians 5:7. Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. A new nature, Ephesians 4, verse 24. Paul says, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. A new creation in Christ Jesus, 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And also along the lines of all things have become new, at the end of the book, Revelation 21:5, he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. So Solomon's final conclusion is that there's no more remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of the things to come. The futility of life seems to work kind of both directions, both in the past and into the future. Man works hard, yes, yet it never seems to be making a lasting difference, and all is simply forgotten. But is this true when we look at life through our relationship with God as a born-again believer in Jesus Christ? God remembers everything. When the Bible says he remembers our sin no more, when we repent, it means so as not to judge, because Jesus took the penalty for our sin upon himself. He's very aware of our sin, but he doesn't remember it so as to judge. God has a book of remembrance, and I love the purpose of this book. And let's just close with this today. It says in Malachi 3, verse 16, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. Isn't that awesome? God's listening when we say these things about him, when we talk about the blessings that he has given us in our lives. So we've got a lot to think on. In ending today, I want you to know that you can download the study guide for today's lesson at naomistable.com.